Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 12th of January, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont, and with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here. I think this is, what, CES Day 2?
Yeah, CES Day 2. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Glad you're here. Now, as Andrew mentioned, we are here to talk a little bit about CES and some of the interesting things, at least today anyway, that Andrew has seen. And one of the things that you've seen that was sort of interesting was from OtterBox.
Yes. So OtterBox has partnered up with Microsoft on some mobile gaming accessories, and they have several available or will be available. So you can pre-order them on January 25th, and they will be available for purchase and shipping out in the middle of February. So first off, I thought this one was really cool. So far, I have seen a couple of mobile game controllers for the iPhone. I'm not just talking about PlayStation and Xbox controllers. There is, let's see, the Backbone, and there's also one, I think it's from Razer, or something like that, I think. And so they kind of fit around your iPhone, and it kind of makes it look like a Nintendo Switch. It's just kind of long like that with the controllers on each side. So what OtterBox has done is a bit different than that. So it's this gaming clip that you attach to your... They say it was specifically designed for the Xbox controller, although it does work with other ones too. And it's just this clip that you put on the controller, and you can attach your iPhone or Android phone into it, and it can like adjust on the fly, and so you can put it in different kinds of positions. So I think it's cool just because if you already have a gaming controller like that, you won't really need a separate one. This is just kind of a clip that just mounts right onto it.
That's interesting. And part of the reason I've never been excited about any of those specific controllers is because they always seem designed for one phone. So if you have an iPhone 12, then it will only ever fit that iPhone 12. And if you get an iPhone 13, then it doesn't work anymore because it's a little different dimensions or something. So this one that's just the clip, that's sort of the intermediary piece, seems like an interesting way to solve that problem. Because you're not buying a whole new controller. Yeah. You're just buying a new, like, sort of stand, I guess, for it.
Yeah, I like the universal aspect of it. So not only does it work with multiple controllers, but unlike the Backbone and those Razer controllers, it doesn't need to clip into the Lightning port. And so they showed us in the Zoom meeting, it was, I think, spring-loaded. So it just kind of attaches on the outside and clamps your phone in.
Okay, yeah, that seems like a nicer way to do it. I remember in the very early days of iPhones, Brian probably has also felt this pain of you buy a few accessories for the phone that you have, and then you get a new phone, and none of them work anymore.
Yeah.
For sure. And this is unrelated to that. This is an interesting direction for OtterBox to go in. Like, OtterBox has always been known for making cases that, you know, are protect against water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so this is an interesting direction for them to go in. Mm-hmm. And more specifically, the company that owns OtterBox owns several brands.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to me that they're doing this under the OtterBox brand rather than one of the other brands. But that's just sort of idle inside baseball observation. It does sound like an exciting project and a good way to do to solve exactly what Kelly's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. And like you, Brian, I was interested to see this with the OtterBox name on it. Because most of what we think about with OtterBox is like the kind of chunky, it'll double the weight of your phone case, but no matter where you drop it from, your phone will be okay. Like, that's sort of like what OtterBox is kind of known for. So having this be an OtterBox product is interesting to me as well. That was part of why I was interested in seeing the announcement go by and wanted to find out what Andrew had heard. So
yeah. So just real quick. So speaking of cases, they do have more products as part of this announcement. So the gaming clip to me was the most new, unique out of all of them. Mm-hmm. But they are going to have a phone case, a shell for your Xbox controller. They said it's like good for anti-sweat protection. They say sweat wicking, and it's antimicrobial. Just kind of an extra grip for your controller.
Okay.
And then they have a case for your controller, and then a screen protector. It's one of those privacy ones where if people are like trying to look at it from over a certain angle on the sides, they can't see anything at the screen. It's just black.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will matter more when there are more people trying to shoulder surf my phone in public, because I'll be in public more. But I'm always interested in those privacy sorts of things to see how they evolve over time. So that, I think, is also an interesting announcement. Now, you also had something, at least one something, I think there were a couple, from a company called Sateki, which might sound familiar to people who occasionally, like myself, will find that their computer or their phone is misbehaving and they will go buy it a present. I have a number of Sateki things for that reason. Like, my computer's sad, so I'll buy it a treat. So what have they announced this year?
I like that. I think Sateki makes good products. One thing that they announced today is a magnetic 2-in-1 wireless charging stand. And as you can kind of tell by the magnetic, they say it was specifically designed for the iPhone 12, although I don't think it's actually MagSafe. The magnets just kind of hold the phone in place. And then it's also, so it's 2-in-1. So you put your phone on top, and then at the bottom, at the base of it, there is a slot for your AirPods Pro. And again, they specifically mention AirPods Pro as part of this.
Okay. Interesting. Well, that just saved me money because I don't have AirPods Pro. So. So now I don't have to worry about buying one of those. So, all right. Way to save me money on CES announcements, Andrew. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And then just finally yesterday, they announced it's another wireless system, but it works with more devices. So you can charge, I think, up to 5 devices simultaneously. This is called the Dock 5 Multi-Device Charging Station. Okay. And so it has different dividers to put a couple of iPhones, your iPad Pro, and then again, your wirelessly charged AirPods up right up front there.
Okay. Interesting. Cool. So we're going to have more announcements through the rest of the week as we talk about CES coverage and occasionally get to meet with the companies that are doing this. As usual, it seems like there's going to be a fair amount of iPhone and iPad gear. And then also probably I haven't seen a lot of stuff for your Mac style announcements.
Yeah, me neither.
I had hoped that maybe we would see some more with a lot of people being excited about a new computer, but I haven't seen a lot of Mac OS accessories for a laptop or an iMac or that kind of thing. So a lot of mobile device stuff. So we'll see how that evolves throughout the week. Interesting. Thanks, Andrew. Because also that's I know CES can be a really overwhelming week for trying to get through. So it's just been a fire hose of announcements pointed at my inbox. So anyway, the other thing we wanted to talk about today is we have a little bit more car news. So if you were wondering. Brian wasn't just here for decorative purposes. Brian is here to talk to us about a new iteration of Apple automobile news.
To be fair, I am quite decorative.
That's true, but that wasn't your only purpose here today.
I accessorize well.
You do indeed.
I become.
You're an excellent accessory. Right.
So there were two stories this week. Andrew wrote one of them. Was that last week, Andrew?
I think that was last week.
And that one was very interesting. And then Charlotte wrote something up yesterday. So let's actually take them in reverse order, because Charlotte's story was about Hyundai and Apple being either close to a deal or signing a deal with that would have Hyundai manufacturing Apple's car in the U.S. This was based on Reuters' story, and Reuters is saying basically that it could happen relatively soon. Like the Apple may be doing some kind of car beta in next year. I think that's nonsense at this point. And also that Apple could be shipping this car as early as 2024. I think with the leaks that have come from Apple supply chain, and also in particular looking at the reporting that Mark Gurman did for Bloomberg, I don't think that we're going to see an Apple car that soon at this point. Do you want to talk about the Gurman piece that you covered, Andrew?
Yeah. So like you said, it's probably not going to be out anytime soon. I think there was in the original story, I think it was by Reuters, just saying it was this latest rumor about the Apple car saying it could appear as soon as 2024, I think. And so I think Mark Gurman's piece for Bloomberg was kind of a reaction piece to that, saying, according to sources he spoke to, they're saying maybe don't expect it that soon. It sounded like it could be in sometime in the second half of this decade. So going with that original date of 2024 to, I think, 2027 is what they said.
Yeah, but half a decade is what he specified.
Yeah.
And he also went into a lot of detail about how like the majority of the team that Apple is working on is working on the autonomous systems, but it does have a team working on the interior, and specifically working on reimagining what an automobile interior looks like when no one is driving. And that, to me, that was probably the hidden gem of the story. That's probably even the lead, because we talk about what like Apple can bring to market whenever it is going to come to market. Like, what is Apple going to do that no one else is doing or can do? And of course, Apple likes to cover a minimum of one or two technologies that it can control so that its competitors can't just, you know, copy their work. And while I'm sure that everybody and their brother will copy whatever Apple is doing with an automobile interior if it's awesome, this is something that Apple might be uniquely suited to do, to reimagine again how an interior of a car works when no one is driving, when it's mm-hmm. the car that's doing the driving. Mm-hmm. And that to me is super interesting. And then the other most interesting part about the Gurman story was I felt like at least some of this was a controlled leak. Andrew mentioned that it might have been in reaction to some of the other rumors. We had stuff coming out of China. We had Daily News.
I think kind of all at once. Yeah.
Right. And one of them had Apple like producers releasing a car as early as September. And that's doesn't really seem likely, but it would not surprise me if some of the information that came in Gurman's story, which is extensively sourced, although of course he doesn't name any sources,
right,
if some of those sources were controlled leaks that Apple was getting some sort of, you know, better expectation management out into the public sphere on this story.
Sure. Yeah. That like, makes a lot of sense, given that there was all of a sudden this swirl of data that kind of all made its way around at once. Like, that definitely helped that feel legit to me, anyway. That, yeah, maybe this is a slightly more reliable piece of information, and part of the reason why was because they wanted to make sure that, you know, expectations were managed, I think,
and,
like you're saying.
And also, if you think about the timing, you know, one of the things that happens every time Apple releases a new product is that, you know, you get two things. Apple doesn't know anything about this product, so it's going to fail. And
yes.
Then you also get that Apple's too late to market.
Right.
Right? We get that all the time. Like, yeah. Apple's too late to tablets in particular. Apple was too late to to cell phones. I mean, it's
MP3
not
there's any players
to be made in cell phones. Yeah, and MP3. Yeah, everything, right?
Yeah.
So, and that kind of time frame puts Apple like well behind companies like Tesla, but also well behind companies the established automobile industry.
Right.
Right. But if Apple is thinking of and I was never worried about that timing. Like, if Apple's going to enter the market, it's probably going to enter the market when it's ready to do so. And it's probably going to be successful when it does so. I'm not worried about that aspect. But from a framing standpoint, Apple waiting that long, if they hit the market with a car that is truly designed to be a passenger delivery vehicle and not something that someone drives themselves, mm-hmm. that is just going to, you know, let them rewrite the rules of by how they're competing as soon as they hit the ground. And that makes that sort of extended time frame make even more sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Am I making any sense?
Yeah, because like what they're making isn't going to be a car the way we think of a car now. So there, while it would like if Apple was going to make something that had a human pilot, for lack of a better word, then it definitely seems like they would absolutely be late to that market. But I don't know how late to a market they can be when the market is passenger delivery systems, like you said. Like when you look at it in those terms, like there's not really anybody doing that right now. Because even when you think of like, you know, mass transit and stuff, like there's still right, but we haven't seen any of that. So that isn't a market that for most of the world is a thing that actually exists. Like it's all theoretical at this point. Like, sure, we know Tesla has said they're making a car that doesn't need a driver and et cetera, et cetera. But we haven't seen that out in the world. So yeah, I absolutely believe it's being worked on, but in practical terms, it's all not very practical at this point. We haven't seen them. They're not out there. So if Apple gets the opportunity to build something that takes a person from place to place and does not require another person to manage that transaction, then that's a different ball game, I believe is what the young people say. I don't know. Andrew, is that what the young people say?
No.
Boom! Andrew just, yeah, that's a smackdown. I didn't like it.
I said I tossed that pitch underhand. I knew it was coming. So there you go. But yeah, I do think it's interesting, and that's why we keep talking about it here when we get more information, is because it is an interesting idea. It's a thing we want to find out more about. And Brian is my current go-to person for exactly this topic, because you've been watching it for a really long time. So I want to find out your take on that stuff. So
Apple is a company that says no to more products than it says yes to.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very hard to get for internal teams to get a product to the point where Apple says yes. Historically, when Apple says yes, like when it goes from being, hey, you know, we could do this, or, you know, hey, let's see what this looks like, to a, yeah, we're shipping that product.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get a product to that point. And my question is the car at that point? Or is it still something that Apple could say no to? I feel that, I don't have any evidence of this, but I feel like Apple could still can the whole product, the whole project, despite the fact that it's spent billions of dollars at this point on it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it remains to be seen if it's going to come to market. But, yeah. You know, when I read Gurman's story and I get even more excited about it.
Yeah, because it sounds like it's far more likely to become reality than not. And yep. it, at this point, it's especially given like the general idea, you know, around this particular one, definitely feeling like an unofficially official Apple story. Like,
yeah, and his reporting also said that Apple has not ruled out. He didn't put it this way, but Apple has not ruled out simply shipping a system that another automobile manufacturer could adapt
or sell. Okay. So CarKit Plus, we sort of coined the phrase the other day.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Apple's going to bother with that.
No.
We'll see.
Yeah, I would be interested to see it, but I don't think it's happening. So, alrighty. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. So, thank you very much, Brian and Andrew, for being here. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. You can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. That's going to do it. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.